Good morning, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Writer's Block Podcast. Coming to you this Tuesday morning, I'm your host, David Hellman, joined as always by Chris Holling, Brandon Clements. You know, it's been a rough couple of weeks for the Cowboys. And of course, the Cowboys had this game against the Ravens, and the Ravens were coming in 0-2, and they are not winless anymore. They got their win over the Cowboys, but darned if the Cowboys didn't make it interesting right at the last second. And for all those people who kept watching, didn't turn their televisions off before. Chris, how are you feeling right now? Just general vibes as a Cowboys fan. I know everybody's kind of the sky is falling in Dallas right now, but you've been that way all season. You've been, you know, everything's terrible. This is a horrible team. They're only winning 10 games.
I had the Cowboys being 1-2 actually at this point in our season prediction, game by game prediction. It was a little different actually. I had us losing to the Browns because I thought the Browns were going to be a bigger problem. And honestly, with the way the Browns are playing, that win doesn't look nearly as good as we thought it did. But yeah, I had us losing to the Browns, beating the Saints because I didn't expect the Saints to look this good. And then I had us losing to the Ravens. So I'm not shocked at all. But I am shocked at the level that the losses have looked. Just, I mean, I thought that it'd be a close loss in both of the games that I had us losing in. I don't care what the 28-25 score says. Anyone who watched this game knows that this game wasn't close outside of a really good last minute fourth quarter run. That's what the Cowboys are great at, taking games that you're already checked out as a fan of, and you're like, oh, I'm just ready for this to be over, giving you a little bit of hope, and then just losing in a, you know, in a more, you know, sad, heartbreaking way. But yeah, I predicted this team to go 10-7, and everyone around, I mean, like this episode's or this group particularly, but also everyone on Twitter, my following on Dallas Cowboys Squad, and you know, SB Nation, I was getting flamed. I was like, you're being way too harsh. There's no way. I think I may have been optimistic, because I don't know if this team can even hit 10 wins at this rate. The run game is awful. The defensive run game is putrid. It's atrocious. This wide receiving room is a one man show, in my opinion. I mean, I think Brandon Cooks still has the I think Brandon Cooks still has the talent, but it just seems like he's not really like jumping off the screen and you know, having a great consistent connection with Dak. I think that they need to bring in a wide receiver to help that room. The offensive line hasn't been amazing. The defense just looks lost. The linebackers aren't playing well. Really, the only linebacker that's been very impressive to me over the last 2 weeks is still DeMarvian Overshown. It seems like anytime there is anything like positive, I just feel like he's there. Kalen Carson is not looking like the seatbelt corner that, his whole celebration and everything, how he's locking the seatbelt. This team just isn't good, and it's not coached well. I mean, there's no way this team is better than the Eagles. I don't care. This team, the only way that this team can beat the Eagles is by Jalen Hurts losing the game for them and Nick Sirianni losing the game for them, because he also sucks as a head coach. But
to be fair, both of those guys do love to lose games for their team.
Exactly. So it's possible. But this team has a lot of holes, and it's not led by a good coach, and there's just problems. And I thought that this team wasn't a realistic Super Bowl contender. They may not be a realistic playoff contender. And I mean, here's the thing. I think that they're going to win this week because they got the Giants, but that's not saying much. It's not saying much. They'll be 2-2, and then they'll get destroyed on the ground again by the Lions next week with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. And yeah, these defensive tackles are as soft as Charmin. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm not a fan. I have a lot of upset thoughts, but I'll let you guys, you know, share your opinions.
Man, well, Brandon, you're always in sharp contrast. You are the sometimes overly optimistic Cowboys fan. Last year, of course, as all of our listeners know very well by now, you said, you know, Dak was going to have 10,000 passing yards in this season, you know, 150 touchdowns and two interceptions, something like that. Are you, I mean, you would have to be more optimistic than Chris, because man, that was depressing. But like, where are you though? Where are you feeling right now?
Well, first off, I had a very rough weekend as a sports fan on my birthday, by the way. Like, my birthday was this past weekend. The highlight of the weekend was blowing out the candles and spending time with the, you know, with the family. Let's see. Syracuse loses on a field goal at the end of the game. Baylor gives up a Hail Mary because I'm a Baylor fan as well. That was brutal.
Oh, and man, obviously, what a miserable life you live.
Yeah, this is a bad sports weekend for me. And watching the Cowboys through three quarters, it was the worst football I've seen in a long time. I'm like, if this is the team we're gonna have, can they beat the Panthers for Pete's sake? I mean, it was that bad. Like it was absolutely disgusting, you know. And yes, I am pretty much the most optimistic Cowboys fan, but I'm not optimistic right now. I'm really upset. I'm ticked off. They ruined my birthday weekend. So thank you to the Dallas Cowboys for that. I do like the glimmer of hope that I have was that fourth quarter where they showed some fight. And, you know, and made it 28-25. So, I mean, the score itself is not very, it doesn't tell the whole story. You know, it's the Cowboys got their butts kicked for, you know, 45 minutes of that game. And it was just a flat out butt whooping. I would say two phases, because the special teams unit, I mean, Brian Anger, he punted the ball very well, I thought. Obviously, Brandon Aubrey, I mean, he's a machine. I mean, I think Justin Tucker was afraid of him because he kept missing kicks. So, I mean, Brandon Aubrey.
I think it's arguable that the Cowboys have the best special teams unit in the NFL. Just best kicker in the NFL.
I don't think it's arguable. They do have the best special teams.
But unfortunately, you can't, you know, just win games solely off your special teams unit. You are able to lose games solely off your special teams unit.
Here's the thing, though. If the coaching staff had more faith in that special teams unit, this could be a whole different outcome, because there was a 68-yard field goal that was on the board at one point, but they decided to punt, and I'm sitting there flabbergasted because I'm like, didn't McCarthy say his range is like 70, 71?
So he drilled that 65-yarder so nonchalantly. He easily could have added three more yards behind that.
I think he could have too. And you know what? And like, obviously hindsight's 20/20, but you know, I'll just say this. There's so many holes. And you know, if you follow me on X, you know, I made some comments of making some trades. Like they got to do some things. And, you know, for example, like, yeah, if you look at the stats by the end of the game, like, sure, like the receiving numbers were decent. Like Fergie had a good game, Turpin had a decent game. Like the numbers were good, but that, to me, that's inflated because of how many pass attempts that Dak had, which I believe was over 50, I believe it was. So 51 to be exact. So, you know, it to me, they need a weapon in the receiving core. Like, Jake Ferguson and CeeDee Lamb, like, that's pretty much it. Brandon Cooks, to me, at this point, like, he looks more like a receiver three at this stage of the game.
He's a good wide receiver three.
Here's the thing. Like, yeah, I think at this stage, and I'm not trying to throw shade at Michael Gallup or anything like that, but, like, Brandon Cooks is slightly better than Michael Gallup was last year. That's how I feel about Brandon Cooks right now. Like, it's just been disappointing. Like, he dropped the ball in the end zone, like, at the end of the game there. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, it didn't really matter because Cowboys still lost the game. But he had his hand on it, and I'm like, yeah, difficult catch. But, you know, Brandon Cooks can make that catch in his sleep. So, for me, I feel like they got to go get a receiver. I mean, I don't think they will. They're not going to do anything because it's the Cowboys. They're not going to make any trades at this stage. But I would love to see somebody come back home. Cortland Sutton, for example. I'm a Cortland Sutton guy. Like, I like him. I mean, I feel bad for him. He's got Bo Nix throwing passes to him. So, I mean, it looked a little bit better this past week. I mean, Cortland Sutton looked a little bit better than he did in the first 2 weeks. But, you know, Cortland Sutton, he grew up about 200 miles away from Dallas. Like, he went to SMU. Like, he's a Texas guy. I mean, I would kick the tires on it. And it's been reported that the Cowboys are reportedly, we'll believe it when it actually happens, looking at receivers, maybe a Deontay Johnson. I know people don't like him because he drops a lot of passes, but he's still a dynamic player. But they got to freshen this up. Jalen Tolbert is not the answer, in my opinion. Jalen Brooks, definitely not the answer. The Cowboys haven't done anything with Ryan Flournoy.
What about Ryan Flournoy? What about Ryan Flournoy, Brandon?
If Ryan Flournoy can't beat out those guys, then what does it say about Ryan Flournoy?
Chris, he's coming for your guy, and he's the one over here.
Ryan Flournoy can't even get more reps than him.
Starter. Here's the issue with the Jalen's. They must have some dirt on the coaching staff because Ryan Flournoy should be on the field. And if you look, I mean, here's the thing. If you look at Cowboys Twitter too, like every time the inactives come out, everybody's like, where's Flo? Where's he at? He needs to be on the field. Like, tell me right now, Jalen Brooks to me, like other than that one catch he had in that this past game, to me, he's been a liability. Like special teams, he's running past the return guys. Like he's like, to me, like if you're that far in the depth chart and you're not that great on special teams, like you shouldn't be on the field. You're a liability. And I'm not trying to hate on Jalen Brooks. It's just an honest observation of his game.
Tolbert's looked special teams. Come on now.
He hasn't been. He's been blowing past the return guys. I'm like, where's he going?
He's setting the edge.
Brandon, when I threw it to you, I genuinely thought you were gonna be like, yeah, it wasn't good, but you know, I think we still got some things going for. I'm honestly shocked.
I just say something real quick though.
Here's another guy. I know he's injured right now, and another running back that we've talked about before. Like even if Damian Pierce, like from the Texans, like I know he's banged up right now, but that'd be somebody I'd bring in as well. Like, I don't know what Dalvin Cook's gonna do. Like everyone's like, oh, hey, you know, we'll see what happens with Dalvin Cook. I hope it works, but let's be honest.
Can't be any worse.
I mean, it's awful right now. I mean, I'd like to see it, but like, the Cowboys, if the Dalvin Cook thing, you know, doesn't really work out, which let's be honest, he's an older running back at this stage of the game by NFL standards. Like, why not kick the tires on somebody like a Damian Pierce, for example? Like, try to do that and just bring something in.
All right, Brandon. I have to say, I'm all about Sutton. I like Sutton's game. I'm all about Deontay Johnson. But you talked about you know bringing somebody home, and it makes most sense cap wise. Actually, it makes more sense because Sutton has another year on his deal after this season, and you know, Steven actually talked about today. He said it may not make the most sense to bring in guys who are, you know, signed longer term past this year. Cause you know, Micah is in their future plans in terms of extending. There's a guy right now who is on the final year of his contract who has already established a great connection with Dak Prescott, who they traded away for a fifth round pick and is on a team right now that's not in a win now situation. It looks like anyway. I mean, why not bring back Amari Cooper? No, I mean, seriously, it's a one-year deal. Trade what? Trade some pick. I'm not saying
Jerry Jones will never like last time. He doesn't want to admit he's wrong.
That's true. That is kind of admitting that you were wrong. But with that said, it just makes a lot more sense, in my opinion, to bring in an Amari Cooper because he's already established a chemistry with Dak. He's on a one-year deal. And, yeah, I mean, I would love that. I know Cowboys Nation would love that. I think CeeDee Lamb would actually really like that, too, just to have somebody to, you know, kind of ease the pressure off of him. You know, CeeDee is getting double-teamed in, you know, coverage, it seems like. He wasn't open a lot of times, really, in that Baltimore game because they had two or three guys in his general area. And, you know, just to have a guy like Amari Cooper. I have Amari Cooper on my fantasy team. He scored me 27 points this past week. He had two touchdowns. Like, he can still bring you something. He can provide something on the field. And, yeah, I do think that even if it's not Amari Cooper, I think if they bring in a wide receiver, it's going to be a guy who has, you know, who's on his contract year. I think Deontay Johnson might be on his contract year. I don't know that off the top of my head.
I think if we're bringing in a receiver, the most obvious answer is – straight up trading Trey Lance for Tyreek Hill.
That would be, yeah.
Both teams win.
Yeah, both teams win
in that situation. Miami gets a quarterback. Cowboys get a receiver.
Speaking of Trey Lance, listen. Trey Lance is not the answer at all, and we've seen this. We've been over this. But just to say, there's a running back right now in New York that would easily be the best running back on this team for the Dallas Cowboys. He's looking like he's a legit NFL running back in Braylon Allen. And
I'm going to give him up now. That's
done. I know. I mean, like, we're not going to be able to trade for him, but I'm saying he was on the board when the Cowboys would have had their fourth round pick, and they didn't have their fourth round pick because they moved that for Trey Lance. So imagine if this offense had Braylon Allen as opposed to
wait a second,
third string quarterback.
Not to rain on the Maris Leofowl parade, but like you could have gotten any of those backs in round three. I'm just honest.
I would have been cool with that too. I said that they should have gone running back as early as round two. That's how much I think that they needed a running back. And
well, let me be the one to say, first off, as it relates to running back, I think the Cowboys are fine at running back. I think the Cowboys are fine right now in general. I'm surprised.
It's absurd.
But I'm
it's
just absurd, like David. I'm chilling. I feel good.
This running back room is the worst running back room in over a decade for the Cowboys. Easily,
sure, but awful. A lot of that has been because
I'll take Joseph Randall back right now. I'll take Darren McFadden.
These guys are better than Joseph Randall.
But Randall was a playmaker. He just couldn't help himself off the field.
I thought Joseph Randall had legal trouble. I thought he was in jail or something, wasn't he?
He is. Like, listen. I just said he was a playmaker.
Oh, you're on mute.
Chris, your mic just cut out. The football gods don't want you to be talking about
it. It wasn't Ben and me talking about Joseph Randall, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But listen, I'm not saying he's a good person.
I don't know
Joseph Randall personally, but I'm saying he was a baller when he was on the field. He was pretty solid. He was good.
For the Dallas Cowboys, not the Oklahoma.
He had some big plays for the Dallas Cowboys. He would be easily the most explosive running. No, he had some big games for the Cowboys.
He was backing up the 50-year-old Darren McFadden, who, by the way,
and he would still be better than any of the running back options right now.
Put up 1,000 yards while he's like taking a walker into the facility each day. And you know why he did that? Because he had a phenomenal offensive line.
Even if the Cowboys had that offensive line, this running back room would still not be that effective.
Oh, they would be so much better than they are right now. Because what you're seeing with this run game right now, first of all, we have not seen a normal game offensively speaking from how Mike McCarthy's been calling this game. Week one, they went up so early on the Browns that they were like, yeah, we're going to run it every single play. And guess what? The Browns know that. They sold out against the run. So you're not going to have good rushing numbers against a defense that's selling out for the run. Two games since then, the Cowboys have been in the exact opposite scenario where they are down, and so you're going to throw it a lot. I mean, Dax had 50-plus attempts each of the last 2 weeks, I think, or close to it. I mean, you can't, as a running game, especially when it's running back by committee and behind an offensive line with two rookies starting, you can't get any sort of mojo when, you know, you're barely getting 20 carries as a team in a game. I don't think we've seen anything from this run game to even make an evaluation of whether they're good or not. I know Rico Dowdle has shown some juice. He's got legitimate pop, but he also, you know, he's had one game with double digit carries so far. Zeke
got a little bit
the last juice. 2 weeks.
A little bit.
Zeke the last 2 weeks, he's almost exclusively been used as a short yardage back, and he's looked good in that capacity, but that's meant very few carries for him. Deuce Vaughn has been getting more run the last 2 weeks, but also every time he carries the ball, he gets stuffed at the line of scrimmage. You haven't seen anything from these guys yet, so I just want to see a normal game where these guys are actually, you know, playing like they normally would in a game. And part of the reason why I'm not worried about this team overall right now is, one, they had a brutal start to the season in terms of the schedule. I mean, the Browns defense is no joke. We know their offense is a joke, but their defense is still pretty darn good. Myles Garrett is still Myles Garrett. And then you follow that up with the Saints, who also have a great defense. And turns out their offense, I mean, they didn't really score a ton of points against the Eagles this week, but they did. They were very, very close to winning that game and looked for a while like they were going to win that game.
Yeah.
Turns out the Saints might actually just be legit this year. And then you've got the Ravens, and the Ravens, you know, they were 0-2 coming in, but they're still the Baltimore Ravens. They still have the reigning MVP. They still have, you know, Derrick Henry, who's a load to deal with, as Trayvon Diggs found out, as Kalen Carson found out.
I thought you didn't want the Cowboys to go after Derrick Henry. I thought that he wouldn't be a good fit and that it wasn't a good use of money.
He wouldn't be a good fit in Dallas. But the Ravens run a power running scheme, which is what Derrick Henry's great at. Cowboys don't run that. They have the West Coast. It's a lot of outside zone runs. That's not Derrick Henry's game.
But you know what, though? We got a guy that talented.
What we've seen with the Cowboys, though, is I mean, they had a tough start to the schedule, and we're seeing that play out. But also, I think really this is just this is what you get when you don't play your guys in the preseason. And personally, I don't have a problem with resting your guys in the preseason because there's nothing worse than losing a player before your season even begins from an injury.
There's something worse than that. There is something that's worse than that, and that's your players not showing up in the regular season anyway. Because they,
well, what we've seen, what we've seen with other teams is that they don't really hit their stride until week three or four. I mean, the Bengals the last 3-4 years have started 0-2, and they've made the playoffs every single year. One of those years they went to the Super Bowl, so it wasn't a problem for the Bengals, and they play in the toughest division in the NFL.
If the Cowboys
don't play in a tough division,
if the Cowboys drop this Giants game coming up Thursday, the statistics are not in our favor. That's a 14%.
If the Cowboys drop this Giants game, if they lose to Daniel Jones in 2024.
We got
much bigger problems than bringing in a receiver or a running back.
14% if they go 1-3. So I mean that's a fact. If they lose to the Giants on Thursday, like I'm telling you, you can kiss the playoffs goodbye. That's it.
But here's the thing: is they're not going to lose to the Giants on Thursday.
They better not. And that maybe Dalvin Cook has.
and they won't. And we'll see you Thursday. What I'm saying is the team that we saw in the fourth quarter, my presumption right now why I'm not worried is because that's what this team looks like once they kind of get their feet under them, once they get, especially on the offense, once they're like, okay, we kind of figured it out, like we're up to speed. Dak didn't have any offseason reps, you know, in the training camp facility with CeeDee Lamb because Stephen Jones couldn't get the deal done. But then things kind of started clicking. I think what we saw in that fourth quarter, we're going to start seeing consistently from the Cowboys going forward, which is a pretty darn good football team.
Well, I mean, by this metric, I mean, it's like, what are we going to do? Spot these teams 3 touchdowns and then go start playing football?
No.
Because
they're going to play like they did in the fourth quarter, starting in the first quarter.
They better start doing it Thursday. Because if it looks like it did the three quarters against the Ravens, they're not going to beat the Giants.
Listen. The Cowboys are going to obliterate the Giants.
But
that's solely based off of Daniel Jones and the talent difference of these two teams. It's not because the Cowboys are good. And that's the thing. They'll end up blowing out this New York Giants team, and they'll win what? I mean, I sent you the predictions, I think right before we got on David. And I had us winning 38 to, I think, 10. I mean, I think it's going to be a blowout. But Hey, listen, it'll be a blowout and the Cowboys will reel some fans back in and, you know, some fans will buy into it. They'll be drinking the Kool-Aid. They'll be like, oh yeah, no, this team is good. But then they'll drop the next week against the Lions because it's not a legit team. It's not a for real team. Beating the Giants is not impressive until the Cowboys can actually beat the Browns isn't impressive either at this point.
They play the Lions in week 6. After the Giants, they have to go to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers.
Pittsburgh. And they'll lose that game, too. I actually had them losing to Pittsburgh. I had them losing to them in the game-by-game prediction.
I don't think they lose to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's offense is atrocious.
I know. But our offense is atrocious as well. The Cowboys' offense is atrocious. There's no way that this offense is going to be able to move the ball down the field on Mike Tomlin, TJ Watt, and Minkah Fitzpatrick. This offense is going to be bottled up against the Pittsburgh Steelers
Let me ask you this. Who do you take, Dak Prescott or Justin Fields, based on –
I mean, easily Dak Prescott, but that's not all it's about.
That's what it is about because –
The defense isn't going to be able to stop Najee Harris. They aren't going to be able to stop Justin Fields running the football. And this offense isn't going to be able to move the ball either. I think that's going to be another disappointing low-scoring loss, I feel like, just because this offense –
the Steelers' front seven's good, but I think their secondary is very beatable.
They have the best safety in football with Minkah Fitzpatrick, debatably.
But their corners are not that great, I don't think.
Joey Porter is pretty solid. He's better than our seatbelt.
That's saying so much right now, a fifth-round pick versus a first-round pick.
Right. I'll say this, all right? Because we were just talking about quarterbacks and you know – saying, well, Dak Prescott's the better quarterback, that means that they can win. The two games that the Cowboys have lost, the opposing quarterback hasn't even hit 20 pass attempts. That's really the story here. They did not get beat by Derek Carr. They did not get beat by Lamar Jackson, at least not with his arm.
Yeah, and that's why Justin Fields can beat them, because he doesn't have to beat them with his arm, and he doesn't have an arm. So that's why the Steelers doesn't really concern. I mean, like that's why the Steelers pose a big threat to the Cowboys, in my opinion.
You can pin your ears back because you know you're not afraid of him. You're not afraid of him throwing the ball over the yard. You know what I mean? You could, if the Cowboys can just scheme it up and just put a lot of pressure on him, I think that could cause some turnovers.
Maybe, I hope so, but I have low hopes heading into that game as well. I think it's a bad matchup for the Cowboys.
I mean, there's only one way to find out, and we got to play them. But
yep.
Speaking of the Steelers, I do want to transition into our around the NFL segment. We were going to talk about like stock up, stock down, but I mean, I think we kind of covered it. Stock down pretty much across the board. Right?
Stock down across the board, other than Brandon Aubrey, because he's literally Brandon the best Aubrey's player great. On the team. He's the best Special player on the teams, team, probably.
No notes. They're exactly. doing great.
Yeah.
But I mean, around the NFL, like it's been another week of surprises. I will say all three of us in our predictions last week didn't do so great. Brandon, you do get credit because you correctly picked Kirk Cousins and the Falcons off the upset against the Eagles.
Yeah.
So there you go. But none of us had the Rams upsetting the 49ers. I'm going to toot my own horn because I took the Panthers to beat the Raiders with Andy Dalton, Cowboys legend Andy Dalton leading the way, and they sure did that.
Hold on a second. We all know why you picked it that way, but there's just because of hatred of a certain person. I'll just leave it.
No, it has nothing. It has nothing to do with the fact that Antonio Pierce is a fraud, a coward, and a thief.
I was out of the loop. I didn't even know. I didn't know you hated Antonio Pierce.
Yeah, his disdain for AP is pretty deep.
All right,
and it's completely justified. But this was also because when you get a change in quarterback like that, going from Bryce Young to Andy Dalton, just like whenever you fire a coach and have an interim come in, it's like it gets everybody's attention. It's like, okay, like if Bryce Young, first overall pick, they traded all that capital to go up and get it. If he's getting benched, not even a full 18 games into his career, like jobs are on the line. Guys got to start stepping up.
Wait, Hellman, real quick. You said something about like, coaches getting fired and all that. AP was in that situation. He got the Raiders rolling last year. You know,
yeah, he did. By the sheer virtue of not being Josh McDaniels, like that's how bad Josh McDaniels is. Which, by the way, all the people calling for Bill Belichick to be the next head coach in Dallas, you're getting Josh McDaniels as your offensive coordinator. Hate to break it to you, but that's what you're getting.
I'll take Belichick. He teaches discipline. I'm good.
Yeah, you want Josh McDaniels? His string of failure. He's never once been successful without Tom Brady being under center.
Well, yeah, to be fair, it's not just the fact that they didn't have Tom Brady. It's the fact that their quarterback was Mac Jones, who Belichick was partially responsible for drafting. But with that said, the Cowboys have a great draft room, in my opinion. So, I mean, here's what the Cowboys need. They need discipline, and they need a winning culture, and they need someone who's going to hold them accountable, and that's all Bill Belichick. If you can give him a good offensive coordinator and you can fix the defense,
you're getting Josh McDaniels, and you're going to like it.
No, you're
if
not.
You're hiring
they're
Bill
not
Belichick.
Getting Josh McDaniels.
You absolutely are. Absolutely are.
Bring in Bill O'Brien.
Also, you're not – you're also not getting Bill Belichick without him having a level of say in who they are drafting and who they want to bring in, because that's just how he's operated. That's what he wanted in New England. That's what he got. That was like the precondition for him taking that job back in 2000 when he went to New England.
He wants the Cowboys job, though. Let's be honest. That's the job he wants right now.
Not enough to give up all the control that he wants, that he desires. Maybe. He's not gonna let Jerry tinker the way that Jerry likes to tinker.
Him and Jerry have a good relationship, so I think there could be some sort of ground where like they all get a vote, but at the end of the day, it's like McClay gets a vote, Belichick gets a vote, Stevie gets a vote, Jerry gets a vote, and then you see who's got the votes.
This past offseason, Jory Epstein, who used to cover the Cowboys exclusively, now covers the NFL at large with Yahoo Sports. She was on a podcast in the offseason where someone was talking about the Bill Belichick to Dallas rumors, and she was saying, from talking to other executives, anonymous executives in the NFL, they were saying, if Bill Belichick came in for an interview in Dallas and he came to the Star and he saw the way that there's like the one-way mirror for people to watch the Cowboys in their gym and in their workout room, he'd take a look at the whole setup and everything and he'd walk right out, because – it is just complete polar opposite from the way that he ran things in New England. Everything shrouded in secrecy. It was like a CIA black site for the
team. Hey, listen, when you've been unemployed, whenever you've been unemployed and you really want to get back in your employment, you'll make some sacrifices to get back employed.
That's the thing. He's not unemployed. He's not coaching. He's working in media, which, by the way, pays a lot better. Pays a lot better and has a much nicer schedule.
I get that, but he's made it adamant that he wants to return to coaching with the right fit.
Cowboys be the right fit. They just need somebody to lead them there, lead them to the promised land.
Which is what everyone was saying when Mike McCarthy got hired.
They were like, I wasn't a massive fan of Mike McCarthy. I wasn't a massive fan of Mike McCarthy. I wanted Lincoln Riley.
I know you guys
that can't perform when it comes to crunch time.
I wanted Lincoln Riley. Hey, listen, Lincoln Riley would have taken Dak to even bigger heights than he already is. He's a quarterback guru.
Yeah, he's a quarterback guru, but he can't win in the postseason.
Because he's never had a defense.
He sounds like a Cowboys head coach already.
Hey, listen, if you give Lincoln Riley a good defensive coordinator, I think he does wonders. I think he's the next Sean McVay.
Lincoln Riley hires his own staff. What is this? If you give him he hired Alex Grinch. He hired him at OU. The defense didn't get that much better. And then he brought him to USC, and then he kept him for several seasons.
Lincoln Riley would be the next Sean McVay.
Yeah, speaking of Sean McVay, they pulled off the upset over the 49ers with half their team injured. The Packers are 2-1. Malik Willis beating his former team in the Titans.
Good for him, by the way.
How about the Vikings?
Sam Darnold.
34-7 win over the Texans.
Yeah, it's impressive.
I didn't see that game coming.
Must be nice to have a good defense.
I didn't call that win happening either. But what I did call the week before was saying the Texans were a little overhyped this year. And they were going to have a few games to get from them.
I think this is a wake up. I think this needed to get their ass kicked once. I think they'll be fine. I don't like the Texans by any means, because there's only one team in Texas, and that's the Cowboys. But, you know, I got to give respect to, you know.
They're not even the best team in Texas, though.
Right now they ain't. But, you know, the Cowboys.
But you know what? They're not the worst team in Texas, because the Baylor Bears do exist. Am I right, Brandon?
Stop. I'm already still sore about that Hail Mary. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
That was impressive. Hey, listen, Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback entering this draft class. That was an immaculate throw. A great throw.
He's no Kyle McCord. It's fine.
Yeah, he had the one good throw, and then there was the entire rest of the game where he played like hot garbage. We're not going to get into all that. Lincoln Riley and Shedeur Sanders is who Chris wants to run the Cowboys next year. That sounds like my personal nightmare. Just like the most overhyped coach in college football and the most overhyped player in college football. Pair them together, and I mean, that actually is kind
Travis
of
perfect. Dallas, I'd be happy about it.
What's that?
Bring me Travis Hunter. I'm good.
I'll trade up and give anything you want for Travis Hunter. Take any player you want on the team other than Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland, and we got a deal.
Hey, he's going to be a stud, no doubt.
Yeah.
One of the other surprises from around the NFL this week was the Giants beating the Browns, which we've kind of talked about the Giants a little bit already. But, I mean, they won 21-15 over the Browns. I truly did not see the Giants. I was looking at their schedule last week, and I was like, I don't know where they're getting their first win. Turns out Deshaun Watson is that bad.
Malik Nabers is a dude. He's a dog. He's a guy for sure.
He made Daniel Jones. I mean, he caught passes that he had no business catching because Daniel Jones threw him so badly. Yeah. But Malik Nabers, like, that touchdown was ridiculous. Like, there's not many players in the league that are making that grab. Like, once Nabers gets a quarterback, like, it's over. Like, that dude is so good.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's very obvious what the Giants' offensive game plan is this year, because you know, everybody who watched the offseason Hard Knocks knows the whole Saquon Barkley, how he left story. They don't have much running back options there. Their offensive line is in shambles. Receiving options are not great outside of Neighbors. And I mean, they're kind of admitting that. They're like, yeah, we're just going to throw it to Neighbors. We're going to throw it to him some more. And then after that, we're going to throw him again, which is another reason why, in thinking about Cowboys playing Thursday night in New York, well, in New Jersey, playing against the Giants. I mean, you think about, like, Malik Neighbors he's playing really well so far. He's had a nice start to his career. But knowing that that's their sole source of offense right now, I mean, if I'm Mike Zimmer, I'm walking in and saying, hey, Trayvon, there's your assignment. Just go follow him. Are either of you worried about Trayvon Diggs' ability to follow Malik Neighbors and maybe not lock him down completely because he's going to get some catches?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll make some plays on Trayvon, but I think that Trayvon will come away with at least an interception because at this point, Daniel Jones is probably so keyed in on Malik Neighbors that I mean, like, he'll probably force something that he shouldn't. And Trayvon has probably the best ability in the NFL to be able to just, you know, make a play on an interception that, you know, not a lot of cornerbacks can because I mean, like, he's a tall guy. He has great ball hawking ability, he has great hands. And yeah, I think that Trayvon probably comes away with an interception, at least one, because Daniel Jones isn't a good decision maker and he's probably going to just have tunnel vision on Malik Neighbors anyway. So
yeah, it's not,
you could say, sorry, Brandon, I have a really important joke to make.
Oh, jeez.
You could say that Daniel Jones is the Stephen Jones of quarterbacks. He's not a good decision maker.
Ooh.
But I'm.
Anyway, Brandon, you were going to say something actually insightful.
No, you're good. With Daniel Jones, it's going to be inefficient. Like, he's probably going to throw Neighbors like 15 times, and he'll probably complete like six of them. And you know, and here's the thing, like, Neighbors are probably going to touchdown. He's probably going to, I wouldn't be surprised if he surpassed 100 yards. He's going to make Daniel Jones look like a sort of like an NFL quarterback at times, because if Daniel Jones can just throw the ball anywhere in the vicinity of Malik Neighbors, he's probably going to catch it. So, and I do agree with Chris too, where I do think Diggs is going to snag one. I think he's due. And I think it's the perfect quarterback because I think he's going to be shadowing Malik Neighbors all game. And Daniel Jones, like Chris was saying, tunnel vision, you know, for Malik Neighbors. And I think he's going to throw the ball so many times that eventually Diggs is just going to be like, I got this one sniffed out, I'm going to take it. And then maybe he takes it to the house, you know, whatever the case may be. But yeah, Neighbors is going to eat.
I think he's held under 40 receiving yards.
I don't think so. Ooh. I think he.
That's my hot take of the episode.
I think he gets over 100. I think he's going to get over 100 receiving yards. I think he'll catch, like, to me, I think it'll be like, he'll have like six, he'll catch like six passes for like a buck five or buck 10. And it'll be on like 15 or 16 targets where, like, you know, Daniel Jones is just looking for him like nonstop. And I think he's going to score a touchdown. Like, he'll put up a good line, but he's probably going to be the only one. Maybe Singletary puts up a decent game because the Cowboys defense hasn't done anything. Maybe he does, but I think Neighbors puts on the best stat line. But I still think the Cowboys are going to win the game.
I think that we should start doing a hot take every episode. Like, one of us has to give a hot take. I think that'd be kind of cool. And see which
Chris,
one.
You've had a few hot takes just in this episode.
I know, and they're all correct takes. You see, listen, they start off as hot, but then they end up aging true. So,
or they turn out to be not. But
I don't know. I think if you look back at a history of all of our,
say Jalen Brooks was going to be the wide receiver three for the Cowboys.
To be fair, I was more right than Brandon was. So
that's a low bar.
Yeah, because of poor decision making by the Cowboys front office. But that's neither.
By the way, guys, Jalen Tolbert had another great game in this one. Like, he's now stacked two legitimately good games as a wide receiver three.
He's okay, but he's not a great wide receiver three. He's like a mediocre wide receiver.
Yeah, to me, he'd be a solid four. But
yeah, you know, he's like a good wide receiver four.
He's wide receiver two for the Giants, easily.
Way
that's
down.
Not saying anything.
I bet you. Here's the thing: if Jalen Tolbert was on the Giants, Daniel Jones would throw in the quadruple coverage for like Malik Neighbors before he would throw a Tolbert open pass.
We've already established he's a bad decision maker. That doesn't do you any good in your argument.
No, it does, because that just tells you that even if Tolbert's open, it's like he's not that open. You know what I mean? So I'm not a big Tolbert guy. I never have been. To me, he's a receiver four at best, and he's a receiver three on this team, which is why our passing game is so meh.
your passing game that scored what? Two touchdown passes, had 350 some yards. I mean, passing game doesn't get you 350 plus yards.
But see, here's the thing. That's a typical game though, where like the game's out of reach and you're just kind of throwing. You know, I mean, like there's a lot of attempts there. In like a regular game, like this wide receiving core is not really getting a lot of separation.
8 of 51 is not efficient.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think Dak did what he could.
It's not efficient when you're throwing that many passes, but nothing is when you're throwing that many passes.
I know. And that's why the numbers are elevated.
You're still not getting those yards.
No, at that point, you're just throwing it all over the field because what do you have to lose? You're just taking chances. Yeah.
I guarantee you Daniel Jones in that situation is not getting 350 yards.
Probably not.
He probably isn't because it's Daniel
Jones. Probably not, no.
Because he's got a terrible passing offense. But the Cowboys, I'm not saying they have a top five receiving unit or anything.
They don't have a top 15 receiving unit. They probably
I don't know if
they have a top 20 receiving unit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm actually how many you're in the minority, man. I'm kind of more on Chris's side with that. I might put them at like 20 because like
all right, well
not great.
When these receivers have a crazy game this week, this Thursday night against
the Giants. That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting them to have a crazy game.
So it doesn't count when it's against bad teams.
Against the Giants.
It doesn't count when it's against bad teams.
It has an asterisk next to it. I mean, sure, it counts on the stat sheet. It counts on the box score. Good for them.
Against legit defenses and legit teams.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. What do they need against the Steelers? For you to say this is a top 20, top 15 passing offense. How many passing yards against the Steelers?
I guarantee you.
Close to 300 yards.
This Cowboys offense will not have 300 passing yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Most offenses don't.
All right. Well, they should. Dak Prescott is the man. He's supposed to
be top 15? To be top 15, you got to do something that the majority of the league doesn't do.
You have to do something because here's the thing. This running game won't be able to run at all against that Steelers front seven, so it's going to have to be that.
Hayward and Watt are going to be shutting them down. I mean,
Mike Tomlin is a winning coach. He's a much better winner than Mike McCarthy is, and he's a much better coach. And, I mean, at this point, like, that Mike Tomlin defense, that nasty, gritty defense. I mean, this offense is going to really struggle against that defense. We're getting ahead of ourselves. I think it's funny that we value the Giants as a threat so little that we're talking more about the next game.
How many Super Bowls does this Mike Tomlin just knows how to win? How many does he have?
Okay, Mike Tomlin is taking these trash teams and giving them good records.
Yeah, he hasn't had a losing record. The Steelers, the one thing about the Steelers are, you know, they don't have a below 500 season with Mike Tomlin.
If Mike Tomlin was the head coach of these Cowboys teams over the last, four or five seasons, they're at least making the NFC Championship game. They're probably winning a Super Bowl. They're winning one Super Bowl.
Mike Tomlin's one of the best coaches in the league.
Mike Tomlin's a top three coach in the league.
He doesn't even win in the playoffs with the team he has.
Because the team sucks. It's not a good team.
If he were the top three coach. And he's
It's because he got them there, then, and that's why he's so good.
I mean, dude, he made Mason Rudolph look halfway decent.
Yes, exactly. You know what I mean?
He's not the offensive coordinator.
Okay, huh?
The Steelers have consistently been terrible on offense ever since Ben Roethlisberger went past his prime. Guess who's the one hiring these offensive coordinators that Steelers fans hate with a passion? It's Mike Tomlin.
But at least he fires them. He fired Matt Canada.
Three years too late, according to all Steelers fans.
Oh, I know a few Steelers fans. I live in a part of the country where there's a lot of them.
They wanted him.
They love Tomlin. They worship Tomlin. Like he's like their Lord.
But they hated Matt Canada, and he kept him for far too long.
Oh, because he's loyal in some aspects. That doesn't make him a bad coach. They were still
he's loyal to a fault to bad coaches. That doesn't make him a bad coach. I'm not saying Mike Tomlin's a bad coach, but to say, oh, he's so much better than Mike McCarthy. Both of them have one Super Bowl win, and they both did it with quarterbacks who were playing at the peak, and neither of them have even sniffed the conference championship game since then.
McCarthy is not on the same level as
Tomlin.
Tomlin not have any say in personnel in Pittsburgh?
They're not close.
Did he not sign off on Kenny Pickett in the first round?
Okay, he's desperate. He hasn't had any help. He's just like, okay, just give me a quarterback. If Mike Tomlin, and like here's the thing. If Dak Prescott had entered free agency, they would have given him any money that he wanted to bring Dak Prescott to Pittsburgh.
100%.
Guarantee you. That's how much that they need a quarterback. And listen, if Dak Prescott
would have been 30 teams that were going after Dak, and the two that aren't are the Cowboys because they already blew their opportunity and the Chiefs.
Okay, no, there's no way that the Bills are going after Dak. There's no way that the Ravens are going after Dak. The Bengals.
2017, you get my point. Yeah. there's a very large amount of teams that would have thrown everything they have at Dak Prescott if he hit the market, which is why the Cowboys were forced to cave through all of his contract. That's why the Cowboys are going to have a good passing game, why they do have a good passing game, regardless of whether it's Jalen Tolbert, Jalen Brooks, Jalen Cropper, Jalen Brown from the Celtics switching over to play football, because your quarterback is what ultimately makes it happen. And that's why they're going to have a great game against the Giants, and the Giants have zero shot in this game because their quarterback is not good. To bring it all the way around, I think we're all picking the Cowboys to win this one, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I would be shocked if any of
if
us.
If they lose this game, then Mike McCarthy shouldn't be allowed back on the plane going back to Dallas. That's just how simple. And it won't happen because Jerry Jones likes to take his time and do all these things. But, I mean.
Wait, Jerry likes to take his time. Oh, man. Dak, CD, I mean.
Yeah. If they lose to the Giants, that's the nail in the coffin in Mike McCarthy, in my opinion.
I doubt it happens.
It shouldn't.
And as we head into our predictions for week four, goodness. Flashing up our records real quick.
Ooh, look at that.
Chris is doing well. He's sitting at a
– I'm not even doing well. Here's the thing. 17-14 is below my standard.
That's Mike
Tomlin. At least I have a winning record.
Just barely in the positive. Brandon, you're not too far off from him, though. You're just under 500, 15 and 16. I've taken some swings. I'm 13 and 18. But you know what? I got the Panthers this week. I got them getting their first win. So I'm a keep swinging. And we're starting with this slate of two Monday Night Football games. Of course, we're recording Monday night. These games are ongoing right now. Everyone listening here Tuesday morning gets to laugh at us for being wrong. But Jaguars, Bills, we're all taking the Bills, right? We all think they're winning this one.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's safe to assume, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a safe bet.
Seems like a safe bet, yeah.
I think we agree.
I'm saying this having not actually checked the score. I feel like Chris is kind of giving me this smirk.
It's safe. It's looking like a Cowboys Giants type game at the moment. This is why we should be picking these Monday night games, just in this, so that we, you know, are just ahead of schedule. I think starting now, we should pick the Monday night games the following week while we pick everything, because it's not looking good right now for the Jaguars. That's all I'm gonna say.
The other Monday night game that we are picking,
It's actually a toss up. So this one is a fair guess. Actually,
Washington Commanders and the Cincinnati Bengals. I know for myself, again, having not seen any of the game as it's going on, I think Bengals are winning it.
I'm actually going to go with the Commanders.
I guess I'm splitting the difference, so I'm going to go with the Bengals.
I want the Bengals to win, but I just
Well, of course. The Commanders are Yeah.
I just think that the Commanders, I don't know. I'm not a believer in the Bengals right now. I think they're just kind of out of sync.
They're going to hit their stride. They'll be fine.
Yeah, just like the Cowboys, because neither of them played their starters in the preseason. But it's okay. It's okay. You guys can be wrong next week. I'll take it. Next up, we have Saints and Falcons. Before the season, I think we all would have hands down picked the Falcons, but things have changed since then.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints.
Believer in Derek Carr.
Yeah, I just think that – I don't know. I just – after losing that close game to the Eagles, I think that the Saints are just a better coach team. I think that they have a better defense. I know that the Falcons have a good secondary, but this front seven of the Saints is good. I think Alvin Kamara is really good. I don't know. I think that Kirk Cousins is going to lose them the game for some reason. I don't know.
Said a week ago, right before Kirk Cousins went on to
That he would have lost to the Eagles
single-handedly win the game.
You guys picked the wrong game, wrong team on that one. So you're welcome.
Brandon, are you picking the Falcons then? Since you're apparently the Kirk Cousins believer,
I am a Kirk Cousins believer. I mean, 20-29 against a pretty decent Chiefs defense. I mean, they still got Bijan. I think they got Chris's boy Kyle Pitts still. So I think Drake London's looking pretty good. So yeah, I'm gonna hammer down on the Falcons.
Cowboys would be good off actually trading for Kyle Pitts and putting him at wide receiver two at this point, because that's literally
Chris, we can't go on that Kyle Pitts thing.
I'm just saying.
You can't. It's like saying Beetlejuice. Like, you can't say the name Kyle Pitts. Brandon, Chris is gonna appear out of nowhere and be like, Cowboys should trade for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah,
We're moving past it because next we got Bengals and the Panthers. I'll tell you Bengals. I'm not picking the Panthers.
Bengals,
Bengals. Hammered on the Panthers.
I'm not a believer in the Bengals, but I'm definitely not a believer in the Panthers. So
I was a believer this past week because I knew they were going to beat the Raiders.
There's no way Andy Dalton is going to outperform Joe Burrow.
It would be hilarious if Andy Dalton.
It would be funny. It would be against his former team. It would be funny.
Yeah. Next, we've got the Rams and the Bears. Neither of these teams really look like they've got a whole lot going for them right now. But Chris, who are you going
Rams? I'm going Rams. They're a much better coach team. Sean McVay is a good coach. I think that the Bears have still a lot of talent, but they're just young and they're just still learning. Caleb, I'm not off the Caleb train. I think Caleb's a very talented quarterback. He's just he's just having those rookie struggles. I got the Rams in this one.
Brandon, how about you?
You know what? I'm gonna go with the Bears. I think the Caleb Williams to Rome Odunze connection is really getting hot right now, and I think
I like it. I got Rome in the fantasy, so I mean, I'm here for it.
He was on my bench this past week, so
that sucks. I actually started him, which was nice. Yeah, I put him in a flex.
I started Michael Pittman Jr. over him, thinking Anthony Richardson would actually throw some passes, but neither here nor there. Bears, I think Rome Odunze and I think Caleb Williams starts. He takes another step forward. I think they pull off the victory.
You know, I'm picking the Bears too, but I think it's going to be a defensive battle in this one. I like the Bears defense a little bit more. So, and this is in Chicago, which bodes well for their defense if it comes down to that kind of game. So that's for that reason I'm taking the Bears, but I'm still not a believer in this offense just yet.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm watching live time right now in the background. Jane Daniels just launched an absolute missile to Terry McLaurin. Like, beautiful throw.
That's how they teach it at Arizona State University.
It was about 50-plus yards in the air, just right in the breadbasket.
Arizona State just puts playmakers out there left and right. If you know, you know. Next up, we got the two surprise teams, the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. Maybe against Malik Willis and the Packers, although Jordan Love was theoretically in potential to play this past week. He might be playing this week in Green Bay.
I'm going to go with the Vikings strictly, not even necessarily because of Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson, because Aaron Jones is going to take that game personally. I mean, he literally was part of the identity of the Packers and really, really was a big staple of their team. And they just were like, no, Josh Jacobs is better. Like, that's crazy to me. And Aaron Jones has been really good for the Vikings, which was expected. He would be really good for the Cowboys right now too, but they didn't look at him. So, you know, yeah. I mean, like, that was one that really surprised me. Derrick Henry, I knew. I mean, it sounded like a good fit, but Aaron Jones, I really thought was a realistic option just with the Mike McCarthy tie and all that. But I got the Vikings in this one. I think they keep rolling. I think that they're, I don't think that they're as impressive as their record will say, but I mean, they're rolling right now and the hot team stays hot.
I think I agree with you on the Vikings. I think a lot of this comes down to their defense though, which is playing at an unreal level right now. Their defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, is just the stuff he does scheme wise. It's just next level in terms of disguise, in terms of ways that he, you know, creates open rushes to the quarterback. So if it's Malik Willis, I don't think Malik Willis has a good game. If Jordan Love comes back, I think it's a tough first game for him to come back from an injury like that. And either way, it's going to be a rough day for that Packers offense. So I'm going with the Vikings. Are we getting a clean sweep here, Brandon?
We are. Yeah, I want to go with the Vikings as well. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you guys all make great points about the Vikings, of course, but I think it also comes down to the health of Jordan Love. If Jordan Love was 100%, I would probably go the other way, because Jordan Love, I think I'm very big on Jordan Love. I love his game, so to speak. And I'm just, you know, hoping he gets healthy and gets on track as soon as possible, because he's a lot of fun to watch. But because he's coming back potentially, we don't know. I mean, obviously I'm recording. We don't know what he's actually going to do or what he can or can't do this coming week. So if he does play, I think he keeps the game close. But if he doesn't play and it's Malik, they're going to get blown out. But I do think at the end of the day, I think the Vikings are going to take care of business.
Next up, we've got the Jaguars and the Texans. Some good old AFC South interdivisional action. Are we unanimous here in taking the Texans?
Yeah, Texans. Yeah, Texans. Jaguars are just not
wrong.
Good.
Wrong. Because wow. I am picking the Jaguars. I'm going against the grain here. It probably will come back to bite me. But you know what? I'm a believer in these Jaguars. I believe in Trevor Lawrence. I believe in Doug Peterson. I think they got a new defensive coordinator. They're still getting fully up to speed with that. And like I said, I think the Texans aren't really, like, they're not ready to really ascend to the level of, like, true contender just yet. I think I'm going to be vindicated this week, and the Jags are pulling off a win and a much needed one for them.
That's why your record's 13-18 for taking.
You know what? I will go down swinging. Jim Harbaugh had his quote this past week, like Moses, I'll die leaning on my staff. Mine's not quite as poetic, but you know
that's
what?
That's a bar.
It is. It is. I'm going to do my thing. And next up, we've got a game that promises to be just utterly filthy football. It's Steelers and Colts.
Steelers, because Mike Tomlin. Steelers.
Because he's the greatest coach to ever live.
Yes. Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, it's painful because I really, really want to pick the Colts. But
the Steelers are 3-0 right now, aren't they?
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, that's Mike Tomlin. They're 3-0 with Justin Fields. Put that into perspective. Mike Tomlin. Well,
they're 3-0 because they have T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. Yeah. But let's be honest there. That's why I got to pick them. I think, you know, I like Richardson. I think Anthony Richardson is one of my guys. I'm a big believer in his ability as an NFL player. But I think T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward and those boys are going to take care of business. I don't think it's going to be relatively close. I think the Steelers are going to handle it as much as they can. And maybe Justin Fields actually puts a few points on the board.
Well, you guys know me. I'm taking the Colts. I'm zigging. Y'all are zigging. I'm zagging. Anthony Richardson is going to have a vintage Anthony Richardson game. And
vintage Anthony Richardson?
Yeah. In year two. Chris, was it you who said Minka Fitzpatrick's the best safety in the NFL? Anthony Richardson's going to put that claim to the test, and he's going to have himself a day. Michael Pittman's going to have himself a day. Colts.
I like hearing that for my fantasy team.
It's not going to look pretty, but they're going to get the win, and that's really all that matters. Next up, we've got one of the most surprising rivalries from a year ago. It's Broncos and Jets. Of course, there was, you know, all the controversy. Sean Payton, like, before the season started, talked a bunch of trash about Nathaniel Hackett, like, did the worst job coaching ever. Of course, he's the Jets offensive coordinator. And then the Jets came into Denver, and with Zach Wilson at quarterback, they beat him. Now we get round two of that rivalry. The Broncos just got their first win of the season with Bo Nix maybe actually looking like an actual NFL quarterback. Anybody taking the Broncos in this one, though?
Not a chance. Aaron Rodgers.
The Broncos against who again? The Jets? I'm sorry.
Jets.
Jets. I am going to take the Jets. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a hammer down. I think Aaron Rodgers has a monster game.
Well, you know, I'm taking the Jets. I was trying to fake you guys out.
Yeah,
but no,
there's no way.
There's a limit to my insanity.
Yeah.
You're going to think yourself a bowl before week five.
I'm about to say, if you're zagging too much, I mean, like, there's a reason you're 13-8. It's because you're zagging too much. You're trying to be different. You just got to roll with what makes sense.
See, I still have the common sense every now and then. Jets should win this game. If they don't win this game, you got to get Robert Saleh out of there, because that's just a complete coaching malpractice. If you can't beat Bo Nix and the Broncos.
I will say, though, I still think Sean Payton's a better head coach than Mike McCarthy, but we
Sean,
can come back
Sean
to that.
Payton is a coward and a thief and a fraud.
I know you don't like Sean Payton, but I'll take him in a heartbeat.
The most
over Mike
overrated
McCarthy.
Coach in the National Football League, but that's neither here nor there, because speaking of overrated coaches, we've got the Eagles playing against the Buccaneers.
The Eagles against the 49ers?
Buccaneers.
Oh, Buccaneers? Okay. I'm gonna go Buccaneers. I'm gonna go Baker Mayfield. Let Baker cook.
All right.
Brandon. Especially after they just got embarrassed by the Broncos. I think they get back on track.
Yeah, it's against like my religion to like pick Philly for anything. I think Baker's gonna take care of business. I mean, nobody thought the Falcons were gonna beat the Eagles last week, and I correctly called that one. So I'm gonna stick my neck out and say, yep, Baker Mayfield is gonna have a great game, and he's gonna have some him and Mike Evans are gonna tear some things up. And I think Chris Godwin's gonna have a good game as well, because I don't big play Slay didn't look so big playish last week, so I'm not really impressed by him these days. So I think the Buccaneers win.
You know, I hope that y'all are right, but I'm taking the Eagles to win this one. It pains me to do it, but I don't know. I don't know. I think the Eagles pull it off. They do this thing where they just win these kind of games, and I think Baker Mayfield is too much of a gunslinger to win against a team like the Eagles, where they just win these kind of crazy, totally lucky games. I think that's going to be one of them.
It's gonna be the Bucky Irving game. There we go.
Next we've got the Commanders and the Cardinals. Jaden Daniels returning to the desert, where he, of course, played the best football of his career at Arizona State, as we all know. Facing off against Kyler Murray.
Oof, Chris, what do you think?
I'm taking the Cardinals. I'll tell you right now.
I'm gonna let you pick first, Brandon.
All right. I'm gonna go with the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is gonna he's just gonna ball out. And like I'm a big fan of Daniels. I said this, you know, long before the draft, that he was my number one quarterback in this past class. Why would I not pick him at this point? And I think him and Terry McLaurin are gonna ball out, and I'm looking forward to watching them beat everybody that's not the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this one, actually. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. has a big explosive game. I think that Garrett Williams gets an interception on Jaden Daniels.
I like that. I mean, Syracuse.
Yeah. I got the Cardinals in that one.
What did you care? And you picked Cardinals?
I picked the Cardinals, yeah. I think they got some things working for him. Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison, their connection is coming along quite nice, and that defense is not quite there yet, but they got some pieces, and I'm just not a believer in this Commanders offense yet. Jaden Daniels is good. Terry McLaurin's good. I think Cliff Kingsbury can be a good fit as a play caller for Jaden, but the three of them, like, they're all still getting on the same page. So not this week. I'm not taking them this week. Next, we've got the Patriots and the 49ers. 49ers just had a really bad week. Everybody's dropping like flies, feels like, for them. But are we're still picking the 49ers, right?
Yeah.
I think Juwan Jennings has another great game.
Yeah. I'm not zigging here. 49ers should win this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then up next, we've got the Chiefs. We've got the Chargers. Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. It is in LA, so it's a home game for the Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs. They got to take care of it.
If the Chiefs went 17-0, it really wouldn't shock me as much as it should, just because they can win in any way. They can win in the run. They can win with Mahomes. I mean, as long as it's a close game, Mahomes is probably going to win the game because they have a great kicker too. Like, all they need to do is get in field goal range. Like it just – I just don't see how they lose. I don't think there's a single game. They're going to lose a couple of games. Probably. But I'll never pick against them. Like I think every single week I'm going to pick the Chiefs, no matter who they play, just because they're that good. And I'm going to pick the Chiefs in this one too.
I'm going to pick the Chiefs in this one, but with the caveat that Chargers are winning the next one later in the year.
Okay.
I'm a big Jim Harbaugh believer. I think they're going to. It's still a little early in the season. Do you know, all the players?
Would you take him over Mike McCarthy? I would.
Wait, quick question. Is Connor Stallions going to be helping Harbaugh in that game?
No, he's didn't he like he got some like high school coaching job or something like that?
Yeah, I think he did. I was just wondering because I know he helped out Michigan. So
yeah, that's its own separate thing. But
we're holding you to that. So if Herbert continues to get hurt, we're holding you to it, even if they have Easton Stick in there.
Oh yeah, especially if it's Easton Stick. I'm gonna Easton Stick to my guns on that one.
Okay, got it.
next up, we've got. This is going to be an ugly one, too. Browns and Raiders.
Browns.
I'm going to go with the Browns as well. I think I do like the Browns offense. Like, they've shown moments that, like, him and, like Watson and Judy can play well together. Watson and Coop can play well together. And Joku, I don't know what's going to happen there. We'll see what happens with that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you trust the Browns defense. And I think – As far as I've seen, it sounds like Minshew's still going to be the guy. So you know Minshew's going to keep both teams in it, and I think the Browns' defense will take care of Minshew, and I think the Browns are going to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, Browns' defense is – I mean, both of these defenses are really good, to be fair. Max Crosby does not get the credit he deserves. And neither of them have good quarterbacks. What this comes down to for me, though, is coaching. Kevin Stefanski, two-time Coach of the Year winner, won it last year. Great coach.
I knew you were going to go there.
Antonio Pierce.
I knew you were going. That's too easy. That's like long.
Capital F fraud. I'm taking the Browns. And then Sunday Night Football, we've got the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen in Baltimore.
I'm going with Bills. I think the Bills are rolling right now. I think the Bills are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I mean, Josh Allen's doing Josh Allen things. And the Bills' defense has looked pretty decent, I think, even with a lot of guys that they've, they've lost a lot of parts on that defense due to free agency and injuries. But DeMar Hamlin looks like a good player. It's not just one of those like crazy comeback stories and everything. Like, he's a legit player. Like, he's playing some good ball. I think he's done a hell of a job this year. So I think the Bills, it'll be a close game. I think it comes down to whoever has the ball last. But I think the Bills are going to have the ball last. I think the Bills win it.
I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think that they continue their juice. I think this is a game that Josh Allen throws a couple too many turnovers, throws a few interceptions maybe. I like the Ravens. I mean, with this matchup, you'll be able to see kind of early what kind of game it is, because the Bills have, like, with Josh Allen versus Lamar, like, if the Bills take a big lead early, then the Ravens are done, because they don't have the passing offense to really come back. But if the Ravens are able to really grind and really keep the game on the ground and play their game, and keep it a one possession game, if you know, at worst for them, then I think that the Ravens stand a fair chance. But I'm gonna go with the Ravens. I think that they keep it going on the ground, and I think Lamar makes more plays than Josh Allen does.
I agree with you on all that. I think this is a Josh Allen turnover game. I think it'll be a fun game, but I'm taking the Ravens as well.
Man, I'm gonna be catching up to Chris real quick after this week.
I'm gonna be catching up with all my unexpected upsets that we're picking.
Man, you're gonna be like the Panthers, bro.
And on behalf of Chris's request, we're gonna pick the next week's Monday Night Football games as well. Chris, you got your wish.
Thank you.
First pick of Titans and the Dolphins.
You know Tua is still going to be out
for this one.
That's ugly.
It's in Miami.
I have to take the Dolphins, not because I'm confident in it, but Will Levis is garbage. He's not good. Will Levis is not good.
anybody that consumes mayonnaise the way that he consumes mayonnaise, like
that, honestly, I think that's gross, but that doesn't concern me actually as much as the banana thing that he does. He likes his bananas brown. He likes them brown, and he likes the peels. That's worse. That's crazier than mayo and coffee. I think mayo and coffee is awful too, but he does
really gross things. None of which are more gross than watching him play.
Exactly. I think that if I was the NFL GM and I knew that about him, that instantly takes you off my draft board. Like, I can't trust your judgment as a quarterback if you're making those decisions in your dietary life.
Now, having said all that, I'm taking the Titans to win.
Fair enough.
Because the Titans defense looks legit and Skylar Thompson does not.
That's fair.
Yeah, I go back and forth on because I think Mayo, man, I think he keeps everybody in the game. I think that's just kind of what he does. Will Levis. Skylar Thompson doesn't scare me. You know what I mean? What do they got? Tim Boyle as well.
I think it's a Tyler Huntley game, actually. That's my hot take. I think they'll come in, actually.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Huntley, I like Huntley he's a quality backup, but to Hallman's point, I think the Titans defense is better than what people think they are. So I'm gonna go with the Titans.
All right. We got one last game. And it's the Lions and the Seahawks. Now, there's history between these two teams. The Seahawks, I think, have won three straight now against the Lions. Even as the Lions have gotten good under Dan Campbell, they have consistently fallen to the Seahawks. And the Seahawks are 3-0. They look pretty good. The Lions have looked shaky so far this year. But it is in Detroit. Who's getting the win here?
I'm taking the Lions. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard for me to take the Seahawks over the Lions. I don't really have a great analysis for this because it's going to go either way, but my gut feeling is telling me Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I trust Dan Campbell. I mean, does a heck of a job on those Applebee's commercials with those wings and, all that. But in all seriousness, Dan Campbell is, I think he's a great coach. I think he has a great pulse for like making those fourth down calls. I think Goff's going to have a bounce back game. And I think the Lions are going to take care of business.
I'm going to agree and I'm going to pick the Lions. Although it does concern me because this Seahawks team has had their number. So I think it's going to be a close one. I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks do win it. That said, I don't know. I think Detroit, I feel like this has got to be the year where they finally beat the Seahawks, and they're better on defense. Jared Goff is bound to do better than he has so far this year. And
plus, they got Montgomery and Gibbs, man, and I'm around St. Brown. I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean they got the pieces to do it. It's just a matter of actually stepping up and doing it. I think they've already had enough adversity to where they know that they got to step up and show who they are, and I think they'll get that win. And if they don't, then I don't really feel it that bad because all three of us picked the Lions, and you know, if we all take a loss here, that just helps me out in my quest to get back to the top of the leaderboard here with these records. And goodness, it's gonna happen this week because those risky bets are gonna pay off for me. But we'll be able to really dive into all of that next week on the show, as we will talking about the Cowboys coming off their they'll have a mini bye next time we're talking to you next Tuesday morning, but they'll be coming off a victory, and if goodness, if they're not, then it will be a dark, dark show. But we will power through it either way to bring you guys all the Cowboys content every week. So for Chris Holling, for Brandon Clements, David Howman signing off for the Writer's Block this week. And remember, always, how about them Cowboys?